Thank you for joining me. I'm Kimberly Rogers, and you're listening to this week's Torah portion from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. This message is brought to you by themessianicmessage.com. themessianicmessage.com. I hope that you enjoy this teaching. This Torah portion is called Vayeshev. It means, and he settled. The Torah portion is Genesis 37:1 to Genesis 40, verse 23. The Haftarah is Amos chapter 2, starting at verse 6 to Amos 3 at verse 8. And the Brit Hadashah is Matthew 1 to 6 and Matthew 1, 16 to 25. Matthew 1 verses 1 to 6 and Matthew 1 verses 16 to 25. And let's say a prayer before we get started. Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu melech haolam. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe. You are the creator of all things, and we just ask that you would put your blessing upon your people this Shabbat. Open our hearts and our ears, and Abba, I pray for your kingdom to come and your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you for your son Yeshua, and just be with us today, Abba. Bring your presence to us in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Okay, I really like the Joseph Torah portions because they're very much a detail of that part of the history of the nation of Israel. And the reason I believe that in Genesis we get so much detail where Joseph is concerned is because it pertains to the end of days. Up till now, we have been getting insight into the character of our forefathers and learning that they did some things right and well and some other things not so right and not so well. And there's a prophecy in those accounts, but there's also in those accounts lessons for us to learn so that we won't make their same mistakes. But in Joseph, we have much more detail because I believe it's particularly important for us at the end of days to understand what Isaiah was trying to say in Isaiah 46:10, where it says, he declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. So Isaiah is actually telling us there that not only does God know the end from the beginning, but he's telling us the end out of the beginning. So if we understand what's happening in Genesis in the beginning, and if we pay close attention to the particular details that he's giving us in the most detailed Torah portions, which happen to be those about Joseph, we will understand the role of Joseph at the end of days. Genesis 37:1 says, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. And then it says Joseph. Well, I believe that this is not only important for us to understand about this is the genealogy, but that these Torah portions are now about Joseph. And as you will recognize or remember, Judah has some tribes with him, and Joseph has all the rest of the tribes with him. So it's true that we need to understand Joseph and Judah. And Joseph has the bulk of the tribes called by his name. Judah has just a handful, three tribes called by his name. And so these being the generations of Jacob here in chapter 2, and then it says Joseph being 17 years old is very significant because truthfully what happens to the 12 tribes pertains to Joseph, and what happens to Joseph pertains to the 12 tribes as well. And it pertains to Judah. You know, in this day and age, with what's going on in Israel, we're focusing our attention on Judah. But the truth is that we need to be starting to focus our attention a little bit more on Joseph. So here we see that Jacob is settled there in Canaan, where actually Abraham and Isaac were there. And we also see in the very beginning here that Joseph is already in trouble with his older brothers. They hate him, as it says here in verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Now, there's a debate that goes on about whether Joseph should have told his brethren, and maybe he was being a spoiled brat and trying to lord his dreams over them. I don't get the sense of that here. I may have kind of in the past, but truthfully, sharing your dreams was something that you would do around the breakfast table. If you had a dream during the night, you would share it. But it isn't that he dreamed, it's what he dreamed that upset them. And they all knew the dream symbolism. You know, back in those days, people used to understand these things more than we do, because let's take a look at this dream for a minute. We're in verse 7, where it says they were binding sheaves in the field. They understood what it meant to bind a sheaf. We don't know what binding sheaves mean anymore. And that their sheaves stood around about and did obeisance to his sheaf. They got a clear understanding of what his dream was telling them. So it's the content of the dream and not necessarily Joseph's attitude toward him that made him hated by them. The truth of it is that he was hated because his father loved him more than he loved the rest of them. And so there's jealousy that's set up here right from the very beginning. And we all know the story about how when he went out into the field and was looking for his brethren on behalf of his father, that, you know, they put him in a pit and sold him off into Egypt. And here we have the beginning of the fulfillment of the children of Israel being taken down into the pit. And you remember, I'm sorry, down into Egypt. And you will remember that I said last week that I believe the reason that the children of Israel ended up in Egypt, and the reason that the Lord was able to prophesy to Abraham about them going into Egypt, was because Jacob gave away his birthright. He gave it back to Esau, called Esau king of the land there, and for that he had to pay a price. Well, do you not understand that sometimes it is our children who pay the price for us? Now, we will have a consequence when we do these things that, you know, help to get us into trouble with the Lord, whatever we're doing, but we do have generational sin, and I believe that Joseph being taken into Egypt is Joseph suffering from Jacob's generational sin, and also is the greatest punishment that could have happened to Jacob, because he loved Joseph more than his other sons, you see. And so this is how the consequences of our sins get visited upon us when we commit a crime against the Torah, and especially when it has to do with the land and giving away the land, which does not belong to us in the fullness. It's our inheritance, but we do not and will not ever have the authority to give the land back to Esau or to give it to anyone else. And so when we commit crimes against the Torah, and especially having to do with the land, we can expect that God will put upon us the greatest punishment, which is exile. And so Joseph suffered from his father's sin, and then the rest of the family eventually followed, and the greatest punishment that Jacob could have was to have his beloved son taken away from him. And in fact, we're going to see that in chapter 38, we see how another son of Jacob who committed a crime against Torah by marrying a Canaanite daughter, Shua, had his sin visited upon his sons. So we see it twice in this Torah portion how when the father commits a sin, it is visited upon the children. And not only is it visited upon the children, but the fathers themselves suffer with it. We also have in Genesis 38 that he gave his daughter-in-law, Tamar. Now, Tamar is I believe, a daughter of one of the priests of Shem. Shem was her grandfather, and so he was trying, I believe, by giving Tamar to his son, he was trying to maybe undo some things that he had done that were crimes against the Torah. Namely, maybe he was trying to correct marrying this Canaanite mother of Ur. But the problem is that once you commit a crime, even if you get forgiven of it, the consequences are still out there. And this is one of the reasons why in exile we suffer consequences that we don't understand. Some people want to know, why am I not being healed, or why am I struggling financially? Why are my children the way they are? Well, we may not notice that we're suffering the consequences of our own crimes against the Torah, but we're suffering consequences of crimes that our forefathers, our parents and our grandparents and great-grandparents and so forth committed, because that's the way the consequences work. You know, you may say, well, that's not fair. Well, you know, that's the way the Lord set it up. I didn't set this up. The Lord said that the sins of the fathers would be visited upon the children. And this Torah portion shows us how that happens. First with Jacob having sinned, and then Joseph suffers the consequence, and Jacob suffers the consequence of that when he loses Joseph. And Judah, who was not the best guy there regarding Joseph being in the pit, you remember that Judah got the idea to sell Joseph after Reuben stopped the brothers from killing him. So we see here that Judah has some crimes against the Torah with his brother, and also with marrying this Canaanite woman, and now he's going to suffer the consequences of losing his own sons just the way that Jacob did. You see how this Torah portion teaches us this principle? And this is what I'm saying about the Torah portions here teaching us not to make the same mistakes that our forefathers did. It's trying to teach us to make better choices with our lives so that we don't visit our sins upon our children. Now, in this Torah portion, we learn that Joseph falls into the hands of the Ishmaelites. And that is, for us, a significant thing to consider, because in the end of days, we're going to fall into the hands of the Ishmaelites. I think a couple of weeks ago, Laura Densmore mentioned this to me, and I think she said it on our 1260 report, and I think it's a really good insight that Ishmael goes after Joseph, but Esau goes after Judah. And in the end, of course, Joseph and Judah unite to go after Esau, and they destroy Esau together. And oh, by the way, doesn't that tell you something about the strength of Esau, where it's going to have to be both Joseph and Judah united that is able to destroy Esau? But nonetheless, that was very good. And who are the Ishmaelites, and who is Joseph today? Well, I have a personal belief that the Ishmaelites are actually the Shiite Muslims, and that the Sunni Muslims are Edomites. That's just my personal opinion, but it kind of makes sense if you think about what's going on, for instance, with Iran. Okay, Iran are the Medes, and the Medes go after the daughter of Babylon, right? Called also the glory of kingdoms in Isaiah 19. And the Iranians are Shiites, right? And who is trying to destroy Israel is the Palestinians, and we already know that they are descendants of Esau, and by the way, they're Sunnis. So there's some evidence to, you know, validate my opinion about who is an Ishmaelite and who is an Edomite. And so if we are Joseph out here in the West, in the Western culture of the modern world, then Iran coming after America, coming after Joseph, would make sense as the Ishmaelite Shiites coming out of, and they'll tell you over in Iran, they're Persians, they're not Arabs and all of that, but truthfully, they try to separate themselves out from being Arab, but they are Arab, no matter what they say. They're just, you know, when the Ishmaelites migrated north a little bit, they tried to probably separate themselves from Ishmael's family, and you know how these things go. I don't have to go into all that detail. The point that I'm trying to make is that when Joseph falls into the hands of the Ishmaelites, it's a lesson for us that we're going to fall into the hands of the Ishmaelites as well. Now, in chapter 39, we see that Joseph was brought to Potiphar, who is an officer of Pharaoh. He was captain of the guard there, and I believe that that word officer there is the word saris, which means a eunuch. Now, we often think of eunuchs as being people who are castrated, men who are castrated, but that is not necessarily true. A eunuch could also be a chamberlain or an officer of the court. We know that Potiphar had a wife and he had a daughter. So that means that he was not castrated. Yet they have here the word eunuch. So it's kind of good for us to go back and look at some of the words, and that will help us to understand truly what was going on in those days. Anyway, Joseph found grace in Potiphar's sight, and he served Joseph well. I'm sorry, he served Potiphar well, and Potiphar made Joseph overseer of his house. But Potiphar's wife had a desire for Joseph. And even though he refused her, Potiphar believed his wife against Joseph and threw him into prison. This is a picture of exile. Not only do we see that he's in Egypt, which is exile, but we see him in prison, which is another metaphor for being in exile. And so we find that in order for him to get out of prison, he has to wait until Pharaoh has a dream that he can interpret. And you'll note that in prison, his dreams helped to get him into exile, but now it's going to be his dreams that help to get him out of exile. And we know that in the end of days, the Lord says there will be people who will have dreams and visions. And so our dreams and visions that the Lord gives to us in the end of days can help to lead us out of our exile, just the way that they did with Joseph. And so the things that get us into trouble can also help to get us out of trouble. Isn't that interesting? So we see here some very interesting prophetic things going on with Joseph and his dreams, and how that he is being asked here in chapter 40 to interpret the dreams of the baker and the butler. And we all know how Joseph interpreted those dreams, and that they came to pass just the way that Joseph said that they would. And so that leaves us at the end of the Torah portion this week. And I hope that, as short as it is, that this Torah portion has still been a blessing to you. I've done a lot of detailed teachings on Joseph. This year it just seemed more necessary to give a general overview and a quick summary, because I think that the summary is just as important as the details. And why do I say that? Well, we're tending to focus so much on prophecy in these end of days, and we should, but I think that sometimes we fail to learn the lessons within the Torah portions as well. And I've tended to teach these Torah portions of Joseph in the light of prophecy in the past, but I think that it's important for us to learn the lessons, because if we don't learn the lessons, we're not going to make it even as far as the Great Tribulation. We're going to be stuck out here in the exile, and probably, you know, if we get into the camps of the righteous, we'll be separated out as a rebel if we haven't learned. So this Torah portion, my focus is more on getting our relationship straight with the Lord by seeing the patterns that the Lord is going to later explain in the giving of the commandments at Mount Sinai. For instance, the commandment that says that he will visit the sins of the father upon the children. You see, we have this pattern here even before we get to Exodus. So we need to learn our lessons. And so that's why I wanted to do this short kind of overview, so that you would look in this Torah portion and see what's in the character of our forebears that the Lord so graciously lets us look at, so that we can learn from them. Just like last week in the Torah portion where I taught that Jacob, as much as I love Jacob, he made mistakes that we need to not make. And this week, we need to learn from this Torah portion not to throw our brethren under the bus. Because if we do, look what happened to them. They threw Joseph under the bus. They put him in the pit. He went down to Egypt in exile. That caused him to suffer for his father's sins, caused Jacob to suffer the greatest consequence possible. And Even then, it wasn't over, because then the brothers, because of what they did to Joseph, they ended up suffering the same fate as Joseph. And their fate actually lasted longer than Joseph's fate, you see. And so we've got to learn not to treat each other badly. We've got to learn not to do things that are going to be visited upon our children. We have to learn these patterns, not only in the light of prophecy, but in the light of how to walk before the Lord, you see. And so, while many people try to gloss over the human characteristics of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and our 12 brethren here in this Torah portion, while we try to gloss that over sometimes and say, well, you know, he did it for this reason or he did it for that reason. No. That isn't the point. I mean, it's okay to look into those things. The point is that these men's lives, the good things and the bad things about them, are being held up for us so that we won't repeat it. The same thing goes, into the Torah portions, starting in Exodus, where we learn about the children of Israel trying to get to the land and all the mistakes that they made, which are a prophecy about the way that things could go in the end of days, except that the Lord has held them up to the light so that we can see to not do those things. See, what I'm really telling you is that for us at the end of days, this is an open book test. We get the questions and we get the answers if we'll look at what our forefathers did to each other, what they did to themselves, the consequences that they suffered, and if we will look at those tendencies within ourselves, we can get a closer walk with the Lord and prevent a lot of extra difficulties that we don't need to have to go through out here in the exile. Do you understand why now that my focus this year was different? And it's not going to take an hour for me to talk about this because you're able to understand the lesson. So I hope that this year's Torah portion called Vayeshev has been a blessing to you. Shabbat Shalom.